Emphasizing candor can help to ensure that the inevitable controversies that arise with every administration do not harden into a permanent state of suspicion and warfare. If the Deputy Chief of Staff does his job, the President will not allow a controversy to turn into an outside investigation or legal proceeding without at least making an honest effort at resolving the problem internally. When scandals arise, as they will, the President must demand thorough investigations and necessary remedial action, including disclosure of the facts and holding people accountable, even if this costs the administration the services of talented subordinates. In today's partisan climate, we sometimes hear loyalty described as a paramount political virtue. Presidents demand loyalty from their advisors and staff. They demonstrate their own loyalty in return by shielding them from accountability. This kind of loyalty often does a disservice to the American people. Public servants must remember that they take an oath to the Constitution of the United States. Our first loyalty is to the nation and its people. When conflicts arise, loyalty to the nation must take precedence over party loyalty or personal loyalty. If this means blowing the whistle on misdeeds or insisting that wrongdoing in office be fully and firmly punished, so be it. A readiness to adhere to this rule is essential for any presidency that seeks to transcend the corrupting atmosphere of today's politics. A president committed to the core principles I've outlined and a White House structured to make sure he is following through on them could do a lot to set the right tone and discourage the practice of scorched earth politics in Washington. But other players of the political game also have important roles. Congress could help us move beyond partisan warfare and the culture of deception. Today, members are too consumed with raising money, appeasing special interest, and outmaneuvering the opposition to win the next election. All elements of the permanent campaign. A lot of good ideas have been proposed for changing the system in Congress. They are worth pursuing. But leadership can make a change in tone and attitudes happen now. Unfortunately, leaders of both parties are trending away from statesmanship and toward partisanship. It is these leaders, the Speaker and the majority and minority leaders in the Senate and House, who must take the initiative. The national media can help change our political culture as well. There's much they do right, but it is often overshadowed by what they do wrong. Network news has been losing viewers in recent times. There are many reasons, including the proliferation of news sources, many now tailored towards specific audience interests. But one important reason, I believe, is that the networks are stuck in the past. Their national news desks remain focused on covering the horse race of the permanent campaign, not only during election years, but continually, emphasizing controversy and talking about who's winning and losing in Washington, rather than really digging into the big issues Americans care about, the economy, healthcare, education, crime, war, and peace. To break out of their slow ratings decline and their creative rut, the news media need to learn to think in new ways. The American public hungers for truth, not just as it relates to petty partisan squabbles and the controversy of the day, but larger truth, including the hard truths we too rarely hear emphasized on television or see written prominently about in our major newspapers and magazines. The network that can find a way to shift from excessively emphasizing controversy, the conventional horse race, and image-driven coverage to give a greater emphasis to who is right and who is wrong, who is telling the truth and who is not, and the larger truths about our society and our world might achieve some amazing results in our fast-changing media environment. I'll bet I'm not the only viewer who would be energized by programming like this. The political drama is entertaining for me, as it is for most politicos, but Americans would be better served and more responsive to news that focuses more on the larger truth. There are more mundane changes in media practices that could also make a big difference in our political culture. During electoral campaigns, reporters should work harder to pin the candidates down on policy specifics rather than accepting generalities and rhetorical flair. Newspapers and TV news programs should monitor the number of column inches and the amount of airtime they dedicate to horse race stories about polls, campaign tactics, and strategies as compared to policy substance. They should set specific targets for each kind of coverage so that sports-style coverage of the political game doesn't overwhelm what citizens need to know to make informed choices. media outlets should devote more resources to fact-checking ideas and information provided by political campaigns, politicians in office, or special interest organizations. When a candidate bends the truth, reporters shouldn't hesitate to point that out. When a television commercial uses emotional appeals, distorted imagery, or misleadingly selective facts to promote a particular point of view, news organizations should expose those tactics, even if it means braving the fury of an offended advertiser. There are a number of organizations showing the way towards such improved media coverage. I've earlier cited the Annenberg Political Fact Check as an example of a nonpartisan group that is trying to improve the level of honesty in our political discourse. We need more organizations like this one. We also need to encourage the media to fulfill their vital role as advocates of honesty, transparency, and mutual respect among our political leaders, and there are encouraging signs that this is happening. Truth tests of campaign ads have become a normal part of political coverage in many newspapers, and CNN's Keeping Them Honest reports bring a similar fact-check approach to cable news. Now the media need to institutionalize this kind of coverage and make it a central focus of their political reporting. The media, too, sometimes needs help in staying honest. I'm happy to see that an increasing number of news organizations are employing ombudsmen to act as advocates for fairness and ethical standards. These ombudsmen investigate charges of bias, monitor newsroom practices, and criticize unfair or shoddy reporting whenever they find it. In a way, they play a role vis-a-vis the media, not unlike the role I advocate for a deputy chief of staff for governing, serving as a kind of institutional conscience. This is a beneficial trend, and I hope it continues and spreads. I hope that my friends in the media, including the solid professionals in the White House press corps I greatly enjoyed working with, will respond positively to the critique I've offered in this book. I know most reporters enter journalism with high ideals. I believe many of them agree with me that it's time for a rededication to those ideals, for the good of our nation. Finally, there is a role for every citizen to play in changing the tone of our political system. We need all Americans to be involved in shaping the national conversation and in advocating, even demanding, that our political leaders respond to the real needs of the people. As I write these pages, it's exciting to see the enormous new outpouring of interest in the 2008 presidential campaign among millions of Americans, including many centrists in both parties, independents, and individuals from groups that once showed relatively low rates of political involvement, young people, and racial and religious minorities. I hope this trend continues and spreads in the years to come. With the right leadership from the president to Congress to the media, I believe it can. New technologies already play a part in encouraging greater activism among ordinary citizens. The internet provides a platform for millions of people to share their thoughts, opinions, observations, and reporting about local, national, and world affairs, giving voices to many who once had none. Social networking sites make it easy for citizens to form groups based around specific interests, from support of a particular candidate to concerns ranging from foreign policy to the environment. At times, the messages disseminated via blogs may be shrill and uncivil, and the videos popularized by YouTube may be vulgar or silly, but the fact that more people than ever feel able to express themselves and their opinions is a very good thing, and in time it should force political leaders to be more responsive to the will of an aroused and informed citizenry. Most important, we as citizens can help change the tone of the national conversation by making an effort to reach across lines of party, ideology, and background within our own communities. Find ways to be involved. Join your local library board, PTA, or civic association, and learn to communicate with people whose worldview and environment may differ from yours. Listen to the concerns of neighbors who may vote for a different candidate than the one you favor, worship at a different church, synagogue, or temple than the one you attend, or none at all, and earn their living in a way you may never have considered. You may find you have more in common than you assume. And if we can find ways to work together constructively at the grassroots, maybe a little of the same spirit can filter its way up to the halls of Congress and the White House as well. The Bush administration will soon recede into history. Future historians will debate the long-term consequences of the fateful decisions made by President Bush and his chief advisors for years to come. But I hope all Americans will participate in the conversation about what we can learn in regard to the right and wrong ways to govern from the last 8 years of our shared history. it can be difficult, even painful, to look back on our own mistakes. It's tempting to focus on the obvious triumphs or ignore history altogether in our constant quest for a better tomorrow. But I'm convinced there's much to be gained from thoughtful, candid, and probing self-examination, and that requires an honest look at what happened.